Hello, grandkids. Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 371. With me this week is Jeremy Mays. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, what's going on? Just woke back up, so give me a little bit.
Hey.
Other than that, I'm good.
Yes, and also on the other end is Chris Calamita. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
I cannot argue. We all, despite the fact that Jeremy just woke up, he still did grasp some of the significance of the main event of SmackDown.
Yes. I saw the ending, so I saw enough, to be honest. Cause it, what put me to sleep was how boring the match was. So, Dean Ambrose and John Cena were not going to do anything spectacular on a free USA Network show. Because they even made a point of saying that that was the first time they'd wrestled each other, I think. So,
And then added the SmackDown part, because they have...
Well, that didn't take long.
Oh, one no.
Raw that I
no, it did not take
that,
long at all.
You know, the two of us could just keep talking. We could just hear Chris going, yeah.
Chris is Mr. Robot.
Did you ever start watching that show, by the way?
No, I never did give that a try. I'm still behind on too much other stuff. Because I thought about picking back up American Horror Story a bit. I still have, like, 6 episodes of Preacher sitting on my DVR.
You know what you should do with that? Just delete it. You don't need it. It was junk. I wanted to like that show, and it was an utter waste of time. So, there you go. There, I just cleaned up your DVR space for you. So,
you know, that's kind of funny. I guess I got the feeling, since Cam was talking about it all the time, that it turned out pretty well.
It was pointless.
Okay, anyway, because I've got a...
It's kind of like having a main event of John Cena, Dean Ambrose on SmackDown. Did we lose Chris, or is...
I'm right here.
Okay.
No, we did completely lose you, though.
And I don't know whether I should be better. So.
Man. Can you guys hear me right now?
At this moment, yes, but you had just fuzzed out right before that. So,
let's back into this before I fizz out again. But yeah, Dean Ambrose and John Cena, I mean, I set out the match fine. No, I guess I didn't expect anything totally blow away. It seemed like a big match for SmackDown, but it really wasn't presented as that big of a deal. And getting ready to talk.
He gets to the crux of the argument and cuts out. That is just a tough one.
Wait, no, I want to translate what he said.
Oh, okay. Can you please translate for us?
What happened was, it wasn't treated like a big match, and he's right, but then, you know, if, I don't think I can disagree with that point, though. So... It's not the headset, my friend. But no. Okay, so really, I don't know.
Damn.
Did I took a shower during SmackDown, so I missed Curt Hawkins' debut. But did I possibly miss them giving backstage interviews to Dean Ambrose and John Cena about having this match?
No, they didn't. No, they didn't at all.
Okay.
They gave AJ Styles a pre-match promo.
Yeah. I saw AJ Styles. They didn't treat. I don't know. It was as if they booked the match on the show, and then went, "Oh boy."
Which is kind of funny, though, that they did have a clean pin involved in the match.
Yeah, that's
you know,
me too.
For all of the non-hype that went into it, they have thrown out so many terrible finishes, and AJ Styles coming out and taking out both of them during the match is an option since he did it immediately after the match.
Yeah.
Which you were kind of mentioning before we started recording that was just kind of terrible timing for him to come out and do that, because you do kind of, if you're going to go with the win by Dean Ambrose over Cena, like, that does need to be a big deal. Like, even though he lost two in a row to Styles, you know, one was of questionable means, and the other was a clean win. So, I mean, you know, it should still be a big deal that John Cena loses any time.
Well, isn't it always a big deal when John Cena loses, though? Because even when AJ Styles beat him, didn't they have, I think it was a day later or so, WWE.com put out, like, the top 10 people that have defeated John Cena, or it was like a list of people who have beaten him, to basically emphasize the fact that that doesn't happen very often. So what I was getting at before was, you had John Cena lose to Dean Ambrose, clean, mind you, and it wasn't treated like a big deal. And even with Mauro, as the announcer, he tried, but it was, you know, you could basically tell there was an edict. John Cena lost. Oh, wait a minute, here comes something else just to, you know, make you forget. I thought it was strange. And I guess I wanted it to be a bigger deal than one line of Dean Ambrose beat John Cena. And then here's AJ just to interfere with everything. So, I don't know. It just seems strange to me that one time, with AJ Styles beating him, it was a big deal. Dean Ambrose beating him, and it was just like, oh, okay.
Moving on along here. I guess it was in the segment. I would imagine, well, they don't really have any build-up. I kind of forgot about that point, because they have their own matches, or they're just in one match.
It was almost as if the ending match was on par with the build up to the match. Here's your match, it's over. So I mean, maybe that's what they were going for. I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way to where, you know, they make such a big deal of John Cena losing, tonight just wasn't. So very, very odd. But it's WWE, so I hard to get in their heads.
And it's one of those things, I guess, that SmackDown has been more consistent. So to have something like this happen is a little bit strange.
Yeah, I mean, they really made Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz feel like a bigger match than Cena versus Ambrose. You know, they built it up with promos. They had a long good match. They in the post match, they summed up. You know, everything was summed up. You know, fine as far as you know, The Miz once again, you know, cheating to win and sneaking out with the championship. Yeah, the presentation of that was definitely a lot better than the Cena Ambrose presentation.
And it seemed like the crowd was into that match more than this one too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And really that shouldn't happen. The Miz is on a certain certainly a career revival, right? But Ziggler, man, that the people can make anyone take that guy seriously at all at this point. It's a testament to the stuff they've done in ways. Daniel Bryan selling to Dolph Ziggler better than
you want this one, Kevin?
Are you kidding me?
You know, I've got to.
You were good till the end. We could make out what you said, but it was still you get a little hairy at the end there. But
yeah, I guess that was one of those things. I think when we talked last week, we thought that Ziggler kind of needed to win this, and they again gave him an out. But, you know, at some point, again, if you want to make him actually useful, he needs to get that win at some juncture.
Okay, can you repeat what you just said with this in the front of your mind? You're talking about Dolph Ziggler. So yeah. When you get to the line about making him important, try to reverse time and not say that again. How do you make Dolph Ziggler important? That, I mean, because remember, this was a guy we were both very high on. I think a lot of people were high on.
Well, no.
And now it's just, whatever, cares.
Chris did say it at the beginning, like, they did a much better job of the build-up. They featured him, honestly, about every week. His promos haven't been god-awful. He hasn't tried any of his comedy bits, which is for the best.
Right.
He's been presented much better, but he's still losing.
Yes.
Like, I guess I just think in general they have actually done a good job with him. Trying to rebrand him or whatever you want to call it exactly. So I do think you can make him important. What'd you say, Chris?
At this point, after a loss, is what?
I wish we were video recording this just so everyone could see your reaction right now. Oh.
Because I don't even need to say anything. I just start laughing. And then the next thing I hear is Chris go, oh, God. I think part of Dolph's success, though, is because of how well The Miz is doing. I think that's the only reason they care, because The Miz was such a dick a few weeks ago that people are like, no, in some way, he didn't become popular off that. I guess because, you know, even, you know, the stingy internet crowd still loves Daniel Bryan.
Well,
so that you're not getting that cool guy, you know, heat to cheer for The Miz. And I know they've given Miz like some stronger talking points, but he was talking strong and acting strong and always losing in the past. Well, he's just doing the same thing again now. So
I guess because it isn't depending on it, just the gimmick itself seemed repetitive. Like, he's still presenting himself like the A-lister, but I feel like there's a little different tweak on it that's made it more tolerable here recently.
Yeah, well, he's also not doing that goofy shit where he walks down to the ring yelling, they hear you, and he pointing down to the floor saying it's my house and all that other stuff. So, I don't know. I guess I'm so far gone with Dolph Ziggler that maybe I'm blinded to what some of the positives could be. But, I don't know. I just don't know if it's enough. And really, I don't think Miz should be losing to him. Which also presents a problem.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Nah.
best show we've had or the worst show we've had?
The worst.
we have the mystery third person involved. It's like a whack-a-mole, but different.
See, it's almost too bad you can't just save up like your data stream, like just be quiet for like 5 minutes, and then you have 5 minutes of uninterrupted audio. To like, you know,
yeah,
you banked all your data bytes. Or your megabytes, terabytes, whatever you would be using it. So, Chris, how's the weather in Detroit?
Oh, the weather is great, Jeremy. It's been very nice this week. And did you hear a thing of that?
And that works perfectly, but yet when we go to talk about wrestling...
it dies.
I'm thinking someone at Microsoft doesn't want to hear your opinion. So,
I got that.
All right.
But no, let me try this. Let me try this again. No, they built up this really, really well, and Ziggler should not be the guy to beat him.
No. I don't know who should beat Miz right now.
Yeah. But it's... If you drag it out a little lot longer, it can absolutely be that Ultimate Warrior beats the Honky Tonk Man level for some.
That could be Baron Corbin's big face turn.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I was never high on Baron Corbin. I liked him enough, but there's something. There's just something. Like, saying something missing may be too positive.
It's probably more than one thing.
Yeah, I don't get what it is. Like, he was yelling at the referee today. I thought that was kind of funny. Just tell him to shut up. Maybe I don't know.
I guess I agree with you. At this point, like, I don't feel like there's been that much... There isn't that much ring work... that I'm like, oh, man, yeah, he's really good in the ring. So yeah. That'll allow me to blow off other not-as-positive aspects.
I was happy to see Apollo Crews not smiling today. That was a nice change.
Yeah, he still got his ass kicked.
That was a nice change, but he got his ass kicked.
Yeah.
He really didn't get much better. I mean, he even had a moment where he dropped an F-bomb right in front of the camera. I don't know if Baron Corbin was really kicking him hard or something, but it seems a little out of character for him.
Yeah, he's a confusing one. There was a lot of... he's never clicked. And I don't know what's missing either.
Yeah, that's kind of a different... He is a whole different case than Baron Corbin. Like, Baron Corbin, yeah. Like, at least I feel like I can point stuff out. Like, the personality still hasn't ever come out either. The in-ring work isn't there to overcompensate for bad mic work. With Cruz, he seems okay on the mic. At least okay. Like, I don't think he's good, but... But his in-ring work is really excellent. So, I'm not quite sure why he isn't in a better spot, or why he can't get himself to a better spot.
Yeah, there's a disconnect with him. He started off hot in NXT, kind of... I don't know, he kind of got lost in the shuffle in NXT for me.
Well, he jumped...
And then they pulled him up to Raw. Like,
because did he... He lost to Finn Balor pretty soon, like, after he got there. It's like, ah, man, where do you go after that? Like, I mean, I just think that that's a terrible spot to put somebody in. To have
He lose to Baron Corbin on the TakeOver England or London show?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, okay, but that was after the Balor stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he didn't... The story with that was he didn't want a title shot because he didn't deserve it, but he wanted to go up against the best or something like that. And
right.
beat him, and then Baron Corbin got involved somewhere along the line. So, yeah, of the call-ups, those two don't seem to be doing all that well. And now, with Corbin going into a possible feud with Jack Swagger, who still hasn't improved on the mic at all. That go ahead, Chris.
And the fact that he's on SmackDown and he has that horrible list, so he has to keep saying the word the letter S over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I wasn't going to point that out, so it's kind of nice.
I guess I guess I did not think about that, to be honest with you. of the show names, but it does make sense that it's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I mean the problem is he's talking about going for the world championship when the last he was seen in the ring he was losing to Jinder Mahal's Neckbreaker of Doom.
Yeah, was that like Jinder Mahal's first win? Wait, was it period or was it?
First, I think it might have been his first singles match win on Raw ever. Because he won matches in a team with 3MB, but other than that, no.
Oh, he hadn't had a singles win on Raw ever?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, not even like way back in the day when they first introduced him?
Honestly, no. I do not believe so, no.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Well, way back in the day for Jinder Mahal isn't that long ago, actually.
Yeah.
It's still longer. I guess I was already assuming that it was longer than I think.
It was he's one of those guys that was kind of around forever. But he wasn't. It just seemed like he'd been on the roster for a long, long time. But
yeah, I do agree with that. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking for the official answer, but until then we can move on along. But yeah, Jack Swagger just isn't in a good spot himself, so the feud is kind of weird.
Jack Swagger, absolutely, think on your.
Oh, okay. I guess it's been 5 years that Jinder Mahal's been around with a break from.
Wasn't he gone because him and Galloway got released at the same time?
Yeah, he was gone from 2014 to 2016.
All right, so a year and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
Which was that? He was a weird call up, but I don't know. SmackDown's got. Well, he's on Raw, so never mind. That doesn't make sense. I was going to say, SmackDown needed their jobbers, so, you know, but it was actually Raw needed the jobbers. Then he came out and won, and now he's got, what, trying to find your balance or your chakra or whatever gimmick they gave him, which is kind of goofy. So
yes.
What's up?
And Raw.
Oh, go ahead.
And Raw even has Dallas beating up jobbers every week. I guess getting arrested for being boarding an airplane drunk might be the thing that ever happened to that.
I'll translate that one. They're rewarding him for being drunk on an airplane. So, yeah, that was kind of a weird one.
I guess I like the change in character from him, but the fact that Raw essentially has a squash match per hour between Bo Dallas, Braun Strowman, and Nia Jax is about at least one too many.
Yeah, well, at least they've moved, you know, Braun up to Sin Cara level. squash matches. And Nia Jax, at least, is feuding with the veteran Alicia Fox, you know, former Divas champion. So, you know, squash was squash, but not just flat-out squash. You know, there's a little spice to them, at least. I don't know. I don't mind the Bo Dallas stuff. But if you're going to go... If you're going to go with a new gimmick, get some new tights, man. I mean, why are you wearing the Social Outcast stuff still? And on that note, where the hell's Curtis Axel? I know no one cares.
Main event.
Is he?
Because when I went to watch the Cruiserweight Classic this past week, I saw the little, you know, still photo there for main event. And I saw Curtis Axel. That was all the further I went. I did not hit play. I hit play on the Cruiserweight Classic, but I did not hit play on...
Are you sure it wasn't Superstars?
Oh, maybe it's Superstars.
Because the Superstars... Because they filmed Superstars on Mondays with Raw, and I believe Axel is a Raw guy, because they had that episode of Raw where he was referred to as Mr. Irrelevant.
Okay, well then that must have been what it was, because I know I'm completely positive it was Curtis Axel. I did not pay attention to the name of the program though.
Gotcha.
So is main event SmackDown only then?
Yeah, main event's the weird thing that they got in trouble with their TV carrier in the UK because. Main event is part of the package over there, so they can't. So main event is actually like a month behind on the WWE network.
Oh, okay.
And main event lost its regular TV home a long time ago in the US, so it's kind of a weird deal.
Pretty strange.
Main event was what, on ION TV?
Yeah, main event was on ION.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that even a network anymore? That's a real question.
Yeah, it is. It's where you can watch reruns of Criminal Minds all day long.
Well, as long as you can kick the writer, it's okay. Because what? It was kind of funny that we were trying to avoid talking about Raw.
Well, Raw just wasn't interesting, and... The botched introduction of the cruiserweights was something to behold. And it was funny because, I'll bring up Total Divas. Who was supposed to be ring announcing? Was it Eva Marie? Yeah, it was Eva Marie. This is back in the Total Divas thing. And she was introducing 3MB, I believe it was, to pull that back in. And she was going to use a piece of paper to introduce them. And they shot it. They said, no, you have to memorize everything because it looks totally unprofessional and looks low rent or whatever if you were to be reading names off of a piece of paper. It makes you look bad because you don't know these people. It makes us look bad for having someone in the ring, you know, who's unprepared. Lo and behold, on Monday, Mick Foley's reading from a piece of paper.
Doesn't Bruce Buffer read from a card sometimes?
Yeah, and that's what Mick Foley did say on Twitter, that he wanted it to feel like a boxing or UFC-style introduction. Now, that's what he said. And whether that's what it was, I don't know, but that's what he said.
Okay, and the difference also is, with Bruce Buffer, they are the exact same, aren't they blue note cards, something like that, every time?
Yeah.
And he's also pronouncing sometimes significantly difficult names. Where Mick Foley's, who was it, Grand Metalik, who else is it, Rich Swann, Cedric the Entertainer, Cedric Alexander, and Brian Kendrick. I just pronounced them all correctly. And I'm a mushmouth half the time. So... I don't get why that was allowed. And if they were going to go with the big feel like they wanted from the Cruiserweight Classic, then they shouldn't have changed any of the presentation. They should have shook hands. It should have been one-on-one. And introducing the champion would have been a nice touch, too.
That...
And come out after the match and be like, all right, it's you and me, shake hands, do something. But...
They must have had... They could have done that, but they have, like, no fatigue in stock.
Yeah.
To not have my commentator have him do anything on that show. Which is weird, because tonight, SmackDown opened with the talking segment with Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Wasn't the greatest thing. But, you know,
yeah, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't the best. I liked hearing Alexa
a chance to talk.
Yeah. Well, funny, through all that,
it's like it's written.
Yeah, I love that somehow we just get the highlights and it still works.
It's like a Raw rewind, except live.
SmackDown Rewind.
Yeah,
only on Stunt Granny.
Oh, boy.
We need some,
it's
like...
It's play translator, though. So... Yeah, I kept waiting for TJ Perkins to show up.
Yeah.
Sit on commentary? Do something.
Or even just sit on the ramp and watch the match. Come down and watch the match. Something.
Yeah.
Like, that was really weird that they... Because I feel like they might have had, like, a short video with him in it, but I was like, really? No. That's it? Like, you're introducing the cruiserweight division, and you're not introducing the champion.
Yep. I didn't like that. I didn't like the four-way. I know they wanted to have, you know, some sort of championship match at...
The Backlash.
No.
Clash
of Champions.
Clash of Champions.
Yeah, but with Backlash was last month. Or 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man, I kept on writing Backlash in the column. Man, I fucked that one up.
Well, you can always go back and edit it if you want.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like some other half-assed people that get paid to do this and fucking leave an egregious mistake like that just sitting. Fuck those guys.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. Like, they made such a big deal the cruiserweights are coming. So, all right, cool. Maybe they overcompensated for people watching the Cruiserweight Classic on the network. I mean, because they can pull how many times the show's been watched.
Well, and that's one of those things, and I think we've referenced it in regard to the NXT people. Like, the WWE, with a lot of these names, has just assumed that everyone's going to notice them. Despite the fact that, you know, their TV audience, despite the fact that it's dwindling, is still at least some number two times larger than what they have just for accounts on the network. So, I mean, that's
a lot.
If you're missing at least half of the crowd doesn't have the information, that's a lot of your crowd to not have the information.
Yeah. Well, it's like whenever we talk about the network and the subscribers compared to the fan base, then you wonder how many people just are smart and just have the network literally just to watch pay-per-views. So you wonder if they are watching some of these other programs. And, you know, they can pull numbers, and they show, you know, the numbers in that. Because wasn't at one point NXT TakeOver Brooklyn actually had more views than SummerSlam did? Which I think probably evened out or SummerSlam overtook it. I think. I don't know. But I wonder if they just took for granted.
Right.
There you go. See, you're getting into the spirit of it.
I'm just
hoping it comes through when we start talking about Billy Corgan. So.
Mm.
But yeah, it's all right. So like,
well, yeah. What's all the views? You know, that was one of those things that I ended up doing. Like, I knew I was way behind on the Cruiserweight Classic, and I just happened to have more free time this past Wednesday. So I did watch the first match and then, like, the last half of the championship match. Because my network feed has been doing weird shit. Like, if I pause it and then hit play later, like, during a live event, it ends up kind of, like, fast-forwarding the match.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because I had it happen to me on the pay-per-view the other... on Backlash, actually. Because that's why I missed the Dolph Ziggler-Miz match. Like, it just kind of fast-forwarded through it on its own. And then took me live. And then when I got live, everything was fine, which is equally as weird. So as soon as they go live, everything's cool in the gang.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So, yeah, I only watched the very first episode of the Cruiserweight Classic, the first and the second. Like, I missed the rest of the tournament, you know, up until the championship match. So, I mean, you're talking about people, are they watching all that stuff or not? Like, I mean, I know that myself, just period. I haven't watched everything on there, even for, like, the new live programming like that, that I would kind of want to watch.
And if you're basically the target audience for the network, I would think.
But yeah, the age might be a little bit high for all of us, but outside of that, they're expecting us to watch this stuff.
Yeah, so, but if somebody like you can't, then these guys show up on Raw, and you're like, well, who are these guys? You know, and then like, well, we're going to fight the champion. Well, who the hell's the champion? So, I don't know. The match was fine. It's like, whatever. But the introduction of that, it seemed like a disservice to them. Like, they kept the motif, the purple, the ring looked a little different. But then, like, the match itself, if there was a criticism I have of it, it just turned into a chopping match all of a sudden.
Oh,
like, that's all they were doing.
It was like, do Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander have heat with each other? They were hitting each other pretty damn hard.
I don't know if that was, like, to get over that, even though they're smaller, by smaller meaning average, that they're still badasses, they're still just as tough, and with the stellar announcing, I don't know what they were trying to get over, other than the fact that I heard one of them, and I believe it might have been Corey Graves, which this took me by surprise, say, who says we couldn't call a cruiserweight match?
Oh, that was Corey Graves.
So was he being a dick? Or was it just like his snide sense of humor? Like, yeah, this isn't working out?
The response to a tweet by McKay on last Wednesday, police said he did that. Man, you think we hit Marlo and Daniel Bryan? Ryan, I'm just a couple of throwing matches. Graves respond on the back when, there's someone on the Raw commentary who's familiar with the product, I guess. So I guess he was mad about that all week.
And yet again, we get the highlights, and it makes a complete story.
My favorite part of that one was your face. You're just looking quizzically, like, often. You were doing, actually, Kevin started doing a WWE promo. You weren't looking at the camera. You just suddenly started, like, dozing, like, glancing off to the side, like, Huh? I just threw my head back. But no, I got this one, though. So someone tweeted at Corey Graves about getting Mauro and Daniel Bryan to call the matches, and then he said that they should be able to do it.
Not someone. Not when Mick Foley tweeted that.
Oh, really? So the Raw GM?
And Graves took offense to that, and apparently he was still bitter about it on Monday.
That one I do not blame him for.
No, yeah, that's kind of a dick move.
That was a dick move for Bone Foley. It absolutely was.
Yeah. Wow. They still probably didn't do a spectacular job of calling that match. Just because that really isn't their job for whatever reason.
Yeah. When you have a limited set of skills on your announce team, and the one guy who is actually seemingly pretty good now works down to the talent of the announce team he's currently with, they don't have the talent to get over a debut match. They barely can get over the finish of a big match, let alone giving them the responsibility of making sure viewers at home understand what's different, what's good, what's great about the Cruiserweight division. Instead of going, boy, I'm happy that the Cruiserweights are exclusive to Raw. Why? Why do you care? Because, I mean, it's as if they're just out there to recite a telephone and then say, hey, Twitter, hey, Facebook, you know, which maybe that's what they're getting plugged in their heads to do. That's fine. But it doesn't make for an engaging product, and it didn't make for an engaging debut of it whatsoever. So.
Well, and there's always the, what are they going to end up doing with the division? Like, it made a whole lot of sense to have Brian Kendrick be the winner out of this little group of four to challenge the champion. Because, you know, he's the veteran guy. Some people might still recognize him. You know, he can take the loss without much of a problem.
Yeah. And isn't he an NXT trainer as well? Or work with the NXT guys?
I'm not sure on that.
Well, he was Eva Marie's personal trainer.
Yeah. I thought he was working at the Performance Center as well.
I don't think he was, actually. I think he's just been out of California. His own school. Obviously, now he's back in WWE, probably semi-full-time.
All right, well, it blows my theory up. I'm going to say he's probably the guy that is most trusted to work a WWE style.
Oh,
which isn't what the Cruiserweight should be doing. But, right. You know, maybe to help TJ get over in front of a large crowd, I'm going to go on a limb and say the largest crowd he'll ever have wrestled in front of.
Oh,
I would say.
Easily.
Did he wrestle in Japan?
He said he did. He was the youngest wrestler ever tour Japan, I believe, as they say. I don't know if he ever toured Tokyo Dome or anything like that, but...
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just going to say it's going to be the... I'm just going to say it's the largest crowd. If I'm wrong, I won't be the first.
Yeah, well, and even if it's not the largest, it's still got to be one of the larger ones he's worked in a while. Because, sorry, I off-tracked myself there.
Well, no, he was DNA for the downfall. And somewhere in there was home. This is, he's a good story here. It'll be. No, Kendrick will have a good match. That is a different match. But
you know, I kind of wish that one of us was doing this on purpose.
just being a dick on purpose.
Yes. So just at the end of the show, we could just be like, haha, we were doing this to you the whole time.
It would be awesome if it was a prank show like that. Yeah,
I think Wild's censoring him now. He started talking, he started bad-mouthing his cable service, I think. And all of a sudden, it just went,
Yeah, it is always amusing that we have the same cable service. And they do not live up to the standards. It's all because they're in Michigan. That's what the problem is.
Okay, so let's off-track the show here for a second. Where are you in Michigan, Chris?
I am in Warren, Detroit. Did you hear that?
It was Kevin's reaction. Kevin's just sitting there, smiling, and then looks up like a little kid, like, who's going to let him off the hook? So you said Warren, just outside of...
Just north of Detroit.
Okay, I know where Warren is.
Yeah.
What's around you? Like, not in the house, but I mean, like, is it the typical suburban Detroit? We got a cluster of houses and then a mess of business.
There's a cluster of houses. There's a hospital on one end of the subdivision, and the General Motors Tech Center on the other end. Which used to screw up my cell phone, but before I actually upgraded back in my old flip phone days. But not so much anymore, so I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
It's hilarious.
I was hoping you were going to say you were like, no, we're like an offshoot. We're like a newer development, which up there means 1970. I was just up in the neighborhood. I was just up around there. I was just in Sterling Heights last weekend, or two weekends ago. So.
Yeah, I'm in a neighborhood that's been around since the 50s.
That's probably part of the problem. Who knows how they built houses around there? So even though it's a cable connection, there's probably still some sort of interference running through it. The old-ass electric system that goes through that city.
Well, the funny thing is that we had problems, or he had problems, and we had a really long stretch there where we didn't have any problems at all. I feel like the last couple of times we've recorded, no, not the last couple of times, I think it was fine last week. But this is one of the few times recently that it's been a problem, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, every time we've been on the shows together, it's been fine.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on right now. I'm sorry, folks.
Well, no, it's kind of hilarious now because Jeremy yeah. posited the theory earlier that it was any time we talked about wrestling was when it gacked up. For the most part, talking about Warren, Michigan, we've been completely fine.
Yep. You haven't broken up once.
Oh, dear.
Except out of the beginning. So...
I guess now that we've hit that over this hour mark, let's hit this the one last wrestling topic we've been.
We got time before the hour mark, but while we're on a roll, now I'm going to come at this from the perspective of hopping on Twitter Sunday evening to check some things out. To see my good buddy Justin Labar tweeting some garbage that the WWE was looking at buying TNA. And I was like, Oh, well, if this is the case, then there's got to be a story somewhere on the interwebs. And I start looking and looking and looking some more. And I'm like, huh, I don't see this at all. This isn't a story right now. I see Billy Corrigan wanting to buy TNA. I don't see anything about Vince McMahon.
Well, from what's come of that, like, there's no official offer, but basically, there wasn't an official offer, and I was listening to Meltzer today, and he mentioned something about WWE. I couldn't tell if he was saying it was in concrete or not, but they were offering money for the tape library, and then they just shut everything else down. They don't care about the rest.
They shouldn't.
They have no desire to run TNA at $4,000 on the network.
Is this a goddamn joke?
Like, I have no idea.
Okay, so hey, all right. So anyway, so when I was in Michigan last week, dude, I was just off a 15-mile. I was off a 15-mile in Van Dyke.
Okay. That's like 3 miles from my house.
All right, you know where Buddy's Pizza is off of Van Dyke?
Yeah, 13 miles.
Yeah, we ate dinner there. Dude, if I would have known you were that close, I would have just stopped by or something. Well, you would have had to come get us, but yeah. And again, you've been fine since we started talking about something not wrestling related.
Thing.
Yeah, because as soon as you said the GM Technical Center, I was like, wait a second. And then I remember seeing the hospital. I was like, wait a minute. So, yeah, are you near the Walmart Supercenter?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, literally down the street. We were staying at the Hampton Inn.
Supercenter.
Yeah. We were staying at the Hampton Inn. That was right next door to the Meyer down there.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with that, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yes, I understand this is an interesting conversation, everybody. I'm just trying to prove a fucking point. That's all.
Microsoft, WoW Cable, they none of them want me to. Billy Corgan has something to do with this. He knows I'm gonna make one of them, and he doesn't want me to get it out.
Billy Corgan is bringing down the hammer.
Apparently, he's got money to throw around, so.
That's what it seems to be. I mean, oh no, I'm sorry. I was closer to 16 mile road, not 15.
Right,
our hotel was behind a Panera and a Taco Bell, which the Taco Bell came in handy on Sunday. So,
yeah, that Taco Bell used to be a Taco Bell and pizza, so that was a great combination back in the day. But now it's
just. All right. So apparently, Microsoft and WoW doesn't like Taco Bell. Everything was good.
You know why they don't like Taco Bell? They wanted you to go to Del Taco.
Oh God!
that's what their problem is. It's Del Taco all the time, bitches.
What kind of taco joint sells French fries? That's still to this day. It makes no sense whatsoever.
That was pretty weird.
Kind of like trying to invest your own money to buy TNA. Let's see how quickly this crashes back out again.
The laugh does it.
Yeah.
Maybe it does.
Oh.
I'll try not to laugh.
This is turning into like one of those uncomfortable Wrestling Observer radios where Meltzer's talking and then all of a sudden Alvarez will be like, yes, it does. And then Dave just pontificates for 20 minutes. And then Alvarez comes back in and is like, so, over on Raw, that sucked. Well, I don't think it sucked, but then blah, blah, blah. You're like, why is Alvarez even on the show today? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So, okay.
And that's the last time I ever want to be compared to Ken Alvarez.
So, all right. So, this is when I was listening to Observer Radio. So, I brought it up. sort of. Somewhere, Billy Corgan's trying to buy TNA, trying to get outside investors to help because he doesn't want to front his own money. And I looked up earlier that according to gotnetworth.com, so take that as reliable or unreliable as it is, he apparently is worth $50 million. Okay. We're just going to go with that total for the purpose of our argument. He said somewhere that TNA was worth $40 million. It was either him or Dixie said $40 million. But then I'm reading something else here saying that Dixie is asking for $4 million for her stock options in the company. So, I'm confused why you would even discuss how much the company would be worth if you're the one trying to buy them. And if it's only $10 million, and I'm obviously not rich, you have $50 million, what's $10 million bucks if you can turn it around and just make some money off of it? All right.
Dump.
All you, Chris.
All right.
I'm hoping for it.
Apparently, okay. So Corgan has already put, you know, if you estimate the cost of TV tapings, Corgan has already put in $1.2 million for two tapings at $600,000 a piece. So you can factor it in. May cost $600,000, approximately 600 grand a month to run. And which means about $7.2 million a year just to run it after you pay Dixie $4 million. At $50 million, if you don't recoup your investment,
you're
over in 5 years.
Yeah. Well, it's also, whenever you go into business, you don't want to use your own money anyways.
Right.
Oh. Use the bank, use your investors, something else. Never use yours. So,
yeah.
So here in Charlotte, we have breweries popping up all the time. Not one of them's gone out of business, except one. I can't remember their name now. But they used all their own money. They didn't use bank loans.
Yeah.
So when it came time for that extra, they had nothing to go back with.
Yeah, that's always a bad plan.
Well, they were popular for a while, and then that just petered out on them, so... I don't know.
It's one of those things that
we need to be around, don't we? Just as fans.
Well, it's kind of weird that I don't know. They seem like just with the amount of content that WWE's putting out, they seem even more irrelevant. Yeah. Like the Matt Hardy stuff kind of brought me back a little bit, but. The second that they moved to Thursday and not our usual night of Tuesday tapings, in no way have I watched that again. Because, like, everything else surrounding that was trash. And supposedly, Corrigan's already been head of creative for a while now. And if this is his creative vision, is... living off of the genius at the current moment of Matt Hardy, you don't have much of a plan. Like, I don't have faith. Like, why would I invest faith in Billy Corrigan, like, if he can't get anything right except for a guy who, you know, at least through in various points of his career has had quite a run. As much as I've made fun of him over the years, which has been completely fine and justified, in my opinion. You know, the guy also was in one of the best tag teams ever, and we even liked the version 2 of Matt Hardy, and honestly, this is basically like version 3 of Matt Hardy. Like, it's in some ways draws from that character. I did like that one of his dislikes for the Matt Hardy character version 2 was also brought into one of his promos.
Oh, no, man. That was V1. Remember, when Matt and Jeff broke up, Matt Hardy was, it was Matt version 1. So remember we used to do the V1 thing?
Oh, yeah.
So version 2 to me was the business suit. Was the business suit Matt Hardy and TNA. Now we're getting the broken version.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, are you talking about the mustard thing?
Yeah, the mustard thing.
Okay. I think Chris should just be relegated to the hype man this time. So if we, so if like one of us ends something with, well, that doesn't make any sense, and then Chris would just pop in, yeah, it doesn't make any sense, just real quick, or just say makes sense. We're doing good with two word loops here. Yeah, but no, pointing that out though, I actually didn't take that into consideration how much the tapings would be, and depending on how much you can fit into them, it's September. We got another set of tapings coming up for October. If you do enough, that may be able to take you through the end of the year, possibly. Not sure how much they'd have to tape, but because like all the post production stuff, hell, they seem like they're just using cams anyways. And then with 30 minutes of your television show is now devoted to Matt Hardy, who apparently they film all that stuff by themselves.
Well, they can probably pay for better workers than TNA can at this point.
True. Well, those guys, I'm not gonna fluff them up too much, but those guys have always kind of wanted to and done their own thing. Because remember, even I think it was, were still with the WWE, weren't they, when they were doing like the Hardy Show, and they were selling DVDs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Was that when they were gone from them?
I think that they were doing that stuff on the side still.
Okay. Yeah, so they were always doing their own thing anyway, so this is just kind of like a natural progression for them. And, you know, Decay or Delete was pretty wild, but it wasn't, like, it didn't top the first one outside of Jeff Hardy dying and then being resurrected by the seven deities. Wait, you did see that, right? Or no?
Delete or Decay?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So the setup is Decay shows up. Everybody's got their own thing to do. Matt and Jeff are taking on Crazy Steve and Abyss. Rosemary's trying to get in the house. And Rebby has, you know, has got her. They are just lighting up Crazy Steve and Abyss with fireworks. They went way over the top this time. It was pretty fantastic. Well, of course, near the end, Abyss finds Janice. Remember the old baseball, or the, was it baseball bat, I think?
No, it's the 2x4.
Yeah.
2x4.
Jeff Hardy, I'm sorry, Brother Nero jumps in front of broken Matt, and Abyss, full bore, just stabs him in the stomach with it. And Matt looks down, so Jeff's just on the ground. I was like, well, they just killed off Jeff Hardy. Like, this is amazing. And if for some reason, Decay just leaves. And then you also had Rosemary spitting acid on to Vanguard 1. Sent Vanguard 1 into the woods to never be found until the next week. They kidnapped Senior Benjamin at the end.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, and then Rosemary tried spitting the acid at Matt. Matt sucked it in and blew it back in her face. And it was very clear that it was just Matt spitting something at her, and they just reversed it. But yeah. Oh, and when Abyss, we got pushed into the water, he walked out as Joseph Park, looking for his brother.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So there was a lot of good in it, but
right.
I'm hoping that the third version is or part three of their, you know, Delete or whatever series is better. So,
gotcha.
But
Yeah, I think after talking about TNA's sale, we can wrap things up here.
I mean, we were pretty in depth with it, weren't we, Chris?
Yep.
See? Perfect. Perfect.
Crystal clear.
Okay, so wait. I'm gonna try something real quick. Okay. All right. So, Chris, if you were an investor and Billy Corgan came to you, what talent should be in a highlight reel?
I would pretty much just the Hardy stuff at this point.
Well, you forget Bobby Lashley, which
maybe Lashley. You're right.
He is actually, he's not getting enough credit for how much he's improved.
Oh no!
It's just the fact they don't have anybody on that show to compliment him, except they've got Moose now, but no one knows much about Moose, so, well, much like everybody else, I guess, on that show. Yeah, because it was supposed to be EC3, but now apparently they don't have somebody for him. I got kind of lost on what happened there. So,
All right. Let's try to explain something. Okay, so Lashley beat up EC3 last week on the Deleted Decay episode. I think they're doing a deal where EC3 may or may not make it to Bound for Glory against Bobby Lashley. He made his return at the end of Impact last week. That's right. That's how much this stuff resonates with me.
Yeah.
The Don Hardy stuff of Impact. But yes, Bobby Lashley is great. And it's a shame that WWE did not take their time with him like they should have.
Okay. We're doing good. No, we're doing good. I know we're over the time. All right. But if you're an investor, you see the Matt Hardy stuff, you see Lashley, and then you go, well, give us your financials and tell us your ratings and tell us your TV network. I don't know, give us your last 5 years of revenue and statistics, and then give us your plan going forward 5 years. Looking at that roster, and Kevin, we've even talked about this, the Matt Hardy stuff, or the delete and decay, or delete, final deletion, that stuff is so far out of bounds compared to the rest of TNA. It should be on Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
So you've got this goofy bastard running around with his kid, his father-in-law that's his gardener. Well, and they don't say it, but his father-in-law is his gardener. I mean, his brother that's, I guess they're together now.
Now that he's been resurrected.
Yeah, resurrected is like badass Jeff Hardy, and if Matt didn't like that, so he pushed him back under the water. He came back as his brother Nero. I'm trying to figure out what investor's going to go, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, here's some money for it. So it almost seems like Billy Corgan's probably going to be stuck paying for this thing on his own. And why take that risk?
I don't know. I mean, he shut down his own wrestling promotion in Chicago. I don't know why you'd think to yourself, oh, well, we're maybe just because he does have any type of network deal, he thinks that he's better off. But I feel like he was on at least some type of local cable there in Chicago, which is plenty of people if you can get enough eyeballs.
Yeah. But I admired the fact that he said that he would love to go before the locker room and before people and explain what their vision is, what their company is. Because right now, it's so fractured that I that grand champion thing, that it makes no sense to me. And then you've got the regular champion, and then you've got these goofy bastards in Cameron, North Carolina, flying drones and spitting acid at each other. Like, what gets lost? How do you reconcile all that stuff together? Because that's the only thing that's getting TNA heat is Matt Hardy and what they're doing. As good as Bobby Lashley is, he's not drawing them anything.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
And it certainly isn't Mike Bennett or Maria Kanellis.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why, I mean, I kind of said it from the start there that they've just been, that thing's a disaster outside of Matt Hardy's stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, well, okay, I guess Bobby Lashley isn't a disaster, but still, like, that's 2 hours of not good. Like, even though SmackDown probably wasn't its best this week, it's been the best show for wrestling for at least the last month. So, you know, sometimes you have an off night and you just kind of move along. But, I mean, TNA has been off for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you get an investor for that.
Yeah, I don't know who would want to start tossing money at something like that.
Right, and you need a better network. I mean, you can't run a major wrestling company off TV. It just can't be done.
Well, I mean,
That was a complete sentence. So
I was going to say the El Rey network has supported, you know, Lucha Underground, as you brought up. So, I mean, I think something could survive on Pop, but they just really have to change something. And again, like, how Billy Corrigan's been with them in some capacity for how long now?
Right.
A year?
I mean, Lucha Underground is a big money loser, but it's just got, like, two mega, you know, people with way more money than Billy Corgan behind it, who are willing to take the losses for their passion project. I guess that's a question about Billy Corgan. How much is Steve willing to put in for this hobby of his?
Well, it would explain why there's rumors of a original band reunion tour for the Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, only half joking, actually. Not that, you know, that's the entire crux of it, because it would be a big money-drawing, you know, concert event. But at the same time, you wonder, because he's been disenfranchised with playing music for a long time and just does it to make money off of it. So, well, wouldn't that be a kicker? So...
Yeah, I guess I don't really care one way or the other.
No.
You know, I mean, they need some type of sustained goodness for me to jump back on board. Again, like, the Matt Hardy stuff is just not enough.
No, not at all.
Like, again, like, I'd much rather, like, even from the little I've seen of the Cruiserweight Classic, if I have a spare hour or something, I'd rather go back and watch the matches I know I missed than watch an hour of TNA.
Yeah, yep. Kind of the thing I'm thinking is that I don't think the wrestling, because there's so much WWE content now, there's no need for a second major, you know, wrestling company. I mean, if there's these micro companies out there that you've been, you know, if you've got the time and you want to watch more wrestling, you can watch the Lucha Underground. You can pick up PWG or ROH or whatever. But, you know, for TNA to be what it originally wanted to be, I don't think there's even a market for that anymore.
Okay. I guess we'll end on this one. And it's kind of a weighted question. Cruiserweight Classic was just wrestling. And it got guys over. The announcers did their job, got the guys over. The crowd started off pretty lukewarm, but once it got down to, I'd say, the final eight, the crowd had established their favorites. They were into all the action, and it made everything seem important. And that was a show devoid of angles, devoid of storylines, other than, you know, you got Kota Ibushi, who's from Japan, and he's considered one of, if not the best wrestlers in the world. This is his tournament to win. Yeah, TJ Perkins, a guy that used to live in his car. You know, he's unemployed. You know, the upstart, if you want to put it that way. Gran Metalik, a huge star in Mexico, coming to America for the first time, I think, was part of the gimmick. Putting on great matches. Aerial Assault, doesn't speak a lick of English on screen. People still get behind him. And then you got, Zack Sabre Jr., technical wrestler. He got over because of his submission moves, not because of his talking. This is what TNA could have been doing, and really were sort of doing, when they had Joe, AJ, all the guys now that are big stuff in WWE. And it's almost as if that's what they should be going for. As much as we enjoy Jeff and Matt and Decay doing this stuff, why not just wipe it clean? 20-minute matches, 10-minute matches, athletic contests, slowly, you know, talk to the guys before, after, whatever. Get almost like the old Ring of Honor, but even Ring of Honor, when it first started, they still had storylines. It wasn't overwhelming. But why not try for something completely different? Look how people flock to. And when I say people, I mean the hardcore fans flock to that. Well, why not go out, get some new people, or utilize the talent you have and just have great matches and see what happens. I mean, what's the worst that it's going to do? Lose ratings? Okay, well, you're already doing that anyways. And that way,
you're right.
You know?
You're right. Why not? Why not go in that direction?
Yeah. So. Well, again, Corrigan's kind of had the chance to change that, at least somewhat, in a creative capacity. So, I mean, if he hasn't done it now, I don't know what investing your own money is going to... Like, I know that it changes, like, your thought process somewhat, but, I mean, it doesn't really change it either, you know? It's just, like, you've been part of creative. Like, I guess I don't see that type of overhaul happening for them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe because since he'll own the company, he will finally have say so in everything, and can be like, "No, you get out. All you writer guys, you're agents. If you weren't a wrestler, then you're not an agent. Peace out, and we're gonna start over." So
yeah, I mean, he'd need to do something like that.
Yeah, but I think that's a fine place to end.
Yep.
Well, all right. So we should let Chris say bye first. Just so if we need to, we can translate what he said.
All right. Good night, everybody. I'm sorry for all the issues. I hope you are entertained by this train wreck.
Yeah. So that was at Chris Calamita. At DeFrango11. To my right is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Enjoyed tonight as a Beltane beer was the Stunt Granny Brewing German Suplex. It's the Hefeweizen, straight up Hefeweizen. Ended up liking the flavor, so hopefully that will go into production sometime in 2018. Jeremy, you have the out.
Oh, cool. All right, well, hey, thanks for listening, everybody. We watch stuff's back next week. Shahid's finally off his goofy shift. So we're recording tomorrow, so it'll be up later. So feel free to listen to that. And, yeah, we're out of here. Peace out, everyone. Oh, and, you hang up whenever you want.